Welcome to another episode of Ham Radio Unlimited. I'm Mike, Kilo 3 Delta Oscar, and today we're going to talk about hotspots. These are very popular devices right now. Some people were a little bit afraid of them maybe. So this is a hotspot ordered off of Amazon or eBay, one of the two, and it comes and needs a little bit of assembly. We're going to walk through what you get in these kits. We're going to walk through the assembly. It's not difficult to do, just a little bit of soldering. And then we're going to walk through actually loading the software and what you need to do to get the hotspot to work and some of the options. So stay tuned, we'll see you after the intro. Okay, I know this is going to be kind of maybe an odd video for some people because they know about the hotspots, but just so you know, not everybody knows all about hotspots. So I want to do a video to show you what happens when you order a hotspot or what comes with it when you order a hotspot. Let me do a little zoom in here. Hang on 1 second. All right. Just got to remember I don't have the full width here. So I have ordered a hotspot. This is one of the Chinese ones. It's really inexpensive compared to some other ones. I think I got it off, I don't think eBay or Amazon, I can't remember, but it was really inexpensive. And I'm actually going to gift this to a friend of mine, Newham. I'm actually going to send him some digital radios that I have. So, but when you get these, so they've changed a lot. When you first got these, you get this board and it'll have four holes for the display to go into. But the new ones, and this actually threw me for a loop, but I got them thinking like, none of these four holes would work with this display. And if they did, the case it goes in is the wrong size. It wouldn't fit in a case. So I don't have the case here. I'll go grab it in a second because it came with a case as well. And I was gonna write them back saying like, something's wrong. There's no pins for this display. Well, it ends up being, I didn't know this until I got this particular one. If you look at this one, you'll see right here, these four pins. They match up exactly with the display and they are the real pins on the Raspberry Pi. Don't know if that was planned or not. So in this particular case, it goes directly into here like that. So you put that in and you would solder. That would be your display. And it fits in the case that way. So learn something new. I didn't have that. It's the first time I've ever had anything quite like that. But here's what it comes with. It comes with the display. Comes with the actual board that is the hotspot. An antenna. Adapter which goes on here. You got to solder this in, so we're going to go through the whole process of building this out. And then these two are actually sent to you to match with these, which are connected to the Raspberry Pi. Because when you typically get a Raspberry Pi Zero, which is what this is, 0W, there's no pins on them. You got to add your own pins. So they were nice enough to send you the pins. I'm going to grab the case. Okay, and then here's the case that comes with it, just like that. So that's how you get everything. We're going to walk through assembling it. It's not difficult to assemble. There's a little bit of soldering, but it's not scary soldering. So we're going to walk through doing that. And after we get it put together, we're going to install the software onto an SD card. We're going to walk you through that process. And then we're going to show you how to set it up. So it's a simple end-to-end hotspot, not scary. Lots of people are asking questions because the digital modes are becoming very, very popular. Some people just are afraid of trying to mess with electronics, and I want to make sure that we say it's not difficult, and we want to make sure it's easy, so something easy to follow. And if you've been wanting a hotspot but you've been putting it off, we're going to try to get that fear out of you. I personally think these are some of the best hotspots because they're multi-mode. I know there's other ones that are multi-mode, but you got to switch them between modes. This is like, if you have multiple, let's say you have a D-Star and you have a Yaesu System Fusion or DMR, you can watch all three of those modes at one time. Whichever radio you're using, it jumps to. Some of the other ones, you got to log into them, change the mode you're on, all that kind of stuff. So I personally like these kind of hotspots, but it's not for everybody. So again, we're just going to show you how to quickly build one. So let's jump out to the workbench and show you how you put it together. All right, let's walk through putting together the hotspot. So we won't need this at the moment, so we're going to set it off to the side. Let's look what we got. So first of all, we have the Raspberry Pi, which does not come with the hotspot, by the way. You need to get this separately, at least the hotspot that I got. The hotspot itself is right here, and we need to install on the hotspot both this screen right here and this adapter, and on the Raspberry Pi we need to install these two sets of jumpers. So this particular hotspot installs this display on these four pins right here that are labeled. So just like that. Okay, so the first thing we're going to install is the display. And on this particular hotspot, you can see they got the pins right here. So we're going to stick it in like this. Then we're going to do a quick tack until we get it to the angle that we want it, and then we'll do the rest of the pins. So let me get some solder here. I wasn't quite prepared for that. All right, I'm just going to do a quick clean of the tip. And we're going to solder. I don't have the fan running because it's noisy for the solder. So just going to do a quick. Yeah, I got the wrong pin. Got the wrong pin there, didn't I? It's okay, nothing's going in that pin. This doesn't like to flow very well on this one. There we go. All right, so it should be in there, but you see how it's crooked, so we're going to fix that. That's why you tack. You want to get it the way you want it before you make it permanent. That's more how I want it, so we're going to... It's an ugly looking tack. But the display looks fine, so we're going to go ahead and gently lay it on its top while we get the other pins soldered there. Alrighty. Oh, got a little crooked there, didn't we? All right, so we're going to fix that. There we go. Got to fix the other pins too, but now I can push on a little bit more. I don't feel like I have to be as gentle with it. Let me grab my headlamp here as well, just so I can see better. Oh, yeah, now I see better. Alrighty. Yes, much, much better. Kind of made a mess of those other two outside pins. I need to clean them up. All right, there's that one. There we go. And let's redo this one here real quick. First pin I did that tacked is still not the way I like it. That's not good either. I've got them linked together now. Okay. Get that off of there. I'm gonna go ahead and cut these out, but I need to make sure I get them cleaned out first. And hit a little bit of the black thing there, not the damage. But everything looks much better now. All right, so that's on. All right, the next piece is this. And this is a lot of soldering going on here, so I'm going to kind of hold it. I can do this. I'll set it down and just do one of them, then make sure that it's straight before I do any more of them. These take quite a bit of solder. I can't tell them. Kind of at the bottom of the camera here. Let me move it up a little bit. All right, let's see if we're straight. Oh, it came out, so it's not tacked in very good either. Okie dokie. not a lot of metal solder to on this board. That's a lot of solder. Hopefully that. I want to clean it up. You see, it's not straight, so we're gonna have to. Oh, it's not too bad, is it? Maybe it's not quite straight, but it's very hot at the moment because it took a lot of holding that to get it there. We'll straighten it up though. There we go. I'm actually feeling the heat on the outside of this board. Just to really look how thin that board is. Like I said, there's not a lot to solder on. It's like a really low end, very low end board. Actually, there's not even much of a ground plane on it. So this might not be a really good hot spot. It's definitely not like some of the other ones that I've had, but we'll give it a shot and see what it's like. All right, so let me go ahead and do the center pin. That went a bit easier. It just doesn't want to stick to the board. It's like it's really, I don't know. It's not plated through, maybe? Can't really tell. It's one of the more difficult boards I've soldered in a while. Man, the whole board just gets super hot. It being so thin. That's a good example of like the differences between a Chinese made board and a US made board. It's just look at the size of the board itself. Put this down. Compared to that, see the difference in the quality of the board. This is actually a fairly thin board too. But that's super thin. But when you pay less than $20 for a hotspot. That's just the way it is. It's so hot I can't even hold onto it yet. All right, but this is done. So we can go ahead and move over to the Raspberry Pi. I do need to cut the pins off over here, but go to the Raspberry Pi. Here's the Raspberry Pi. And these go on the ends like so. Oh, that's why I get it in the hole, right? Going to do the same type of thing. We're going to tack one of them, make sure it's straight, and then attack the other one as well. Just want to make sure you're not holding onto the pin you're going to tack. That's it. Find that really quickly when you're doing that. Not gonna do a full solder, I just want it to hold still so it won't fall out, and make sure that it's straight. That one's straight. We'll get the other one here real quick and then we'll just finish them off. Okay, I'm gonna do the same thing. I'm going to tack one of these just like this. Ugly, I know. That doesn't really matter as long as you get it straight first. You come back and clean it up. Alright, so that looks straight. Alright, so let's go do the other pins and clean this all up. Clean up the tack now. Just like that. All right, we'll do this other side while I'm still going across here. Because the tacks are now, after you put one more of these in, the tack you can go clean up. It's got a little extra. Tack is cleaned up. All right, we'll turn it around just so I can right-handed from the top. There we go. You can see how much easier this board is to solder than the other one. Just like that. There you go. One soldered Raspberry Pi. So, this is pretty much how it goes now. There's your hotspot, and it goes in its case. So we'll go in and put the screws and everything in it. That's the next step, put the Raspberry Pi, which goes, let's see which side's which. Goes like this. So we'll go put the screws in there for the Raspberry Pi, and then case goes on like this, and we'll get a card made, and then we'll have our very inexpensive hotspot. This case is not the best case either, so, but anyways, you get the idea. We'll get that put together. All right, into the desk in there where all the rest of the parts are. All right, so now we have our hotspot assembled right here, and we need to put the software on it. So software goes over here in the side. We're gonna take this little 16 card. We're gonna take this 16 gigabyte card and we're gonna load it up with the software. 16 gigabits is a little bit overkill, but it's kind of hard to find the smaller ones these days. An eight gigabit would be just perfectly fine. So in my case, I'm gonna stick it in this adapter, just like this. And we're gonna jump over to the computer now and we're gonna load the software on here. Okay, now that we have our hotspot built, we need to put some software on it. And we're gonna use the very popular PiStar software to set up your Raspberry Pi, your new hotspot. So first thing we need to do is we need to go to PiStar.uk, P-I-S-T-A-R.uk. I'll put a link down in the description as well. And once you get there, we need to go into downloads right here. And we're going to download PiStar. And when we get in here, we need to figure out which PiStar we really need to use. So we want the Raspberry Pi PiStar. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to grab the latest one, which is the June release, 1.521. So we click on that, and you'll see it downloads down here at the bottom. So we will wait for a little bit. It's only 600 megabyte, but we'll pause the video until that comes down. Okay, now we have that image down. We need to go and we need to make the SD card. So here's what we're going to go through the process of creating the SD card. And I'm going to go on a little bit different path than what some of the videos show. Only because Raspberry Pi has come out with this nice software that's easy to use to help you image it. If you've imaged a Raspberry Pi before, you can use that method. It'll work just fine. I use DD on the Mac a lot to do that. Or you can use Win32 Disk Imager on Windows. But I think this may be a better experience. So if we go to the raspberrypi.com website, again, I'll put this link down in the description, and we go over here to software. And if we scroll down just a little bit, you're gonna see install Raspberry Pi OS using Raspberry Pi Imager. Well, this imager can install more than just Raspberry Pi OS. So we're going to go ahead and download this. So I will download for the Mac. If you're on Windows, go ahead and download for Windows. And if you're on Ubuntu, you go ahead and download for Ubuntu. So I'm going to go ahead and download the imager. It's pretty small. It won't take very long. And I'm going to go ahead and install this. So on the Mac, I'm not going to walk through the installation process, but basically it's just dragging the application over to the applications folder. On Windows, though, if you downloaded the Windows version, it'll walk you through installing the software. And so I'm going to pause for a second here while I go do this, and we'll be right back. All right, let's walk through using the Raspberry Pi imager that we just downloaded and installing the other image for PiStar that we also just downloaded. So let's go over here and it's really simple. We're going to do choose OS just like this. And if you scroll to the very bottom, you see that there's a bunch of things at the top. You see the use custom. So you click on the use custom And we need to find our download. So let's see, we are in the downloads folder already here. Let me just change to sort by the date. And there we are, Raspberry Pi, Pi Star, and then there's the image. So we're gonna select the image. This may be a different location on your computer. If you're on Windows, it'll be in your downloads folder. On a Mac, it'd be in your downloads folder. It should be as well. And it may come down as a zip file. You have to unzip it first. If you're on Windows, you can double click it and extract it. And if you're on a Mac, you just double click it and it'll extract it for you automatically. But anyways, here's the image file that we need. So we're going to double click on it. And there you'll see under the operating system, we have Pi Star and the image that we're trying to load. Now we have to tell it where to put it. So we're going to come in here and choose storage. So here's my 8 gig drive. It sees it all by itself. So we're going to go ahead and click on the 8 gig drive. And that's simple as clicking the right button now. So we're going to click on right. It's going to say, are you sure you want to continue? Because it will erase everything that's on that card. Yes, I'm sure I want to continue. And it's going to now go ahead and write our image. So we will fast forward through this section. All right, well, we just watched it finished writing. It doesn't take very long at all. And now we're going through the verifying cycle, and as you can see, it's moving along even faster than what the write was. So this is actually a much easier way to image a Raspberry Pi than it is using other tools that I've used in the past. So I think this is the best way for people that aren't comfortable or are very familiar with burning images to use a very graphical and very easy user interface. So that's why I decided I want to do the video. And right there you see it's been written to the device, and you can now remove the SD card. We're going to click on continue and we'll remove the SD card, and we'll jump back over to starting to get the hotspot onto the network and get it configured. All right, we have our software now loaded on this little card. We're going to take the card out of the adapter because it's only the little part that you need. If you look on the end here, you see the slot where it goes, and this goes in just like this. Well, helps if I can see in there. There it is. Goes in just like that. There we go. Our software is loaded. Now we're going to go plug it in and get it connected to the network now. Okay, so here I am. I plugged the hotspot in now, and it takes a little while for this to get booted up. It's like it reboots two or three times now, so it must be doing some additional things kind of there in the boot cycle now, expanding file systems and things like that. So it takes a little while in the first boot. Just be very patient, but eventually you'll see a new network, wireless network show up. And I'm going to do this on my cell phone. I can do it right here in front, but you could do this on your computer as well. You're going to see a new wireless network called Pi Star Setup. So what you want to do is you want to go ahead and join that network. And you'll join the network, and it's going to say sign into the Wi-Fi network, and you're going to see Pi Star Setup, but you're going to come up here with this no mode defined. So what we want to do is I'm going to make this a little bigger. I'm just going to turn it sideways so we can see it a little bit bigger. We'll do the rest of this on the computer, but the first thing you want to do is get it onto your own Wi-Fi. So what we're going to do is we're going to come down here. We're going to try to make this bigger. There it goes. And I'm doing this on my phone. You could do this on the computer, as I said, and it may be easier for you on the computer, but for most people, they just use their phones because it only takes one thing to do, and then you get on the computer real easily. So we're going to click the configure Wi-Fi. And I'm just going to scan for networks. That's the simplest way to find the networks at your house. Takes a few seconds to do it. It says 10 seconds. It doesn't normally take 10 whole seconds, but it's going to make a liar out of me now because I'm on camera. There it goes. So I'm going to pick one of my networks. You know, I got quite a few of them around here, and I'm going to click the Han 2G one, and we'll cover this up. Okay. And we're going to do a save and continue. Actually, we need to change the country code from Japan to US. Because I'm in the U.S. If you're not in the U.S., you figure a country. This is just a Wi-Fi thing, so I'm going to make sure we configure properly. And we're going to do save and connect. And I think we're going to lose our Wi-Fi now. We should lose our Wi-Fi. Okay, I just went back in and checked my Wi-Fi here, and it is no longer available here, and it did show up on my network. So the next step is figuring out what the IP address of your hotspot is. In my case, I have a complicated network, so I actually log into my router to get that. But if you're using PyStar, you can just go to pystar.local. So since I now have it on the computer, I'm going to jump over to the computer because we can make it much bigger to see and walk through the configuration of this hotspot that's now on my home network. Okay, I have my hotspot on. It came onto my network as 10.232.1.125. It's in my DHCP scope. You should be able to do pi-star.local on your local network and find it without having to look up the IP address like I do. I have too many of these on my network, so it doesn't always get to the right one. However, if that does not work, what you need to do is go to your router and go into the DHCP area and see what IP address it assigned. So what I've done here is I went to that IP address, and I'm going to go ahead and refresh it and see if it does the same thing again, so you can see exactly what it does when you first get to it. No, it's not going to. It's gone. Let me just do this. I'm going to go to the very first page because it does tell you it's not configured. You should see that at this point. There it goes. No mode defined. It just says I don't know what mode I'm in. You probably just need to configure me, which is correct, and you'll be redirected to the configuration portal in 10 seconds. So we'll wait here, and you'll see it goes to configuration portal. The default login for PyStar is pi-star, and the default password is Raspberry. It's the same default password on all Raspberry Pis when you first install them. Well, any Raspberry Pi OSs. So typically it's just pi, but they've added .dash-star. So it's pi-star. And Raspberry is the password. So first thing we're going to do when we get here, before we do anything else, is we're going to scroll down to the bottom and we're going to change the password. I've learned the hard way about this. You don't want to do this when you're in the middle of configuring because it'll forget what you're configuring. So I'm gonna go ahead and set a new password right here, just like this. And you need to do the same thing. So just pick a password you wanna use for this. And we can click on set password, just like that. And this doesn't take very long to do. It's a pretty quick thing. It's not like the other configurations we're going to do where we're going to be fast forwarding through them. Okay, so it's start at the top. We're going to do a couple of things here real quick. First of all, you can change the host name to whatever you want. PyStar is just fine if you want to do that. I am going to leave it PyStar. Put your call sign in here. I'm going to put mine in, just like this. Now we come to the frequency. So my particular area here in Maryland, we have a group that manages our frequencies and our repeaters, and it's like a repeater council, and they give us the frequencies that we should be using for different things, the band plan. And in our particular case here in Maryland, they have reserved some space for these type of hotspots, and there's an indoor low power and an outdoor greater than 100 milliwatt power. So I'm just going to put that in here. Ours is 438.0125. Is with the start of it, so I'm going to stick that in here. I would recommend you ask around if you do not know if you have one of these type of repeater councils. Ask around some club members or whatever. It just helps prevent you from interfering with repeaters because that can get you in a little bit of trouble. For my particular case here for this demonstration, I'm not going to put my information here for latitude and longitude, although I do recommend that you do that. And we're going to skip over that for right now. I'll put in my town here. I live in Knoxville, Maryland. So, and I know my locator is FM19EI. I live in the United States, just like that. And for the URL, I typically put in my QRZ here. You don't have to do that if you don't want to. It's totally up to you. It's kind of a private thing. If it's going to be a private hotspot, you probably don't have to really worry about it too much. We're going to leave the node type private, but let me explain the differences here. So the way this works is if it's in private mode, it's going to look for either DSTAR or DMR or whatever. It's going to be your call sign. So if it doesn't see your call sign in that, it's not going to let it happen. It's going to block you. So in most cases for your own private hotspot, that's perfectly fine. But if you set it to public, that means your friends can use it or people you don't even know could use it, which is fine in a lot of cases. If you were building a regular repeater, then that's what you would want. But typically in your home, you just want to come to private. But it's fine too if you want to use it public.
this may come into a case where you have multiple people in your household trying to use it, so you want to go to public at that point. We're not going to enable APRS at this particular time, but I am going to change some of the information here. I'm going to make this the US, which is North American APRS. You set the one that best fits you. I am in the America, New York time era, time zone, so we'll leave it the same. And even though you can understand it just fine, I'm going to change it to English US right here. And let's see, let's look down. Anything else we can do right now? I'll leave for now. We can talk about this later. I'll go through it in detail in this video. But I'll leave all these private as well. And then you can turn on auto AP. We just used it to configure this to get onto your network. And UPnP, depending on your router, may help you configure it as well. And then we already did the Wi-Fi configuration to get to here. And we've already changed our password. So that's all we're going to change in this first pass. I'm going to go ahead and click apply changes. Anytime you apply changes, or in most cases when you apply changes in here, it has to basically restart all the services. So it takes quite a while. It takes 40 to 60 seconds for every time you click that button. And we're going to be clicking that button quite a few times here in the next couple of minutes. So I will fast forward until the changes are applied through every time we do this. So I'm going to warp forward right now. All right, here we did. Just did a little warp forward. And this is what we get immediately after our first set of changes is the modem selection section has been updated. Please reselect your modem from the list. So now that we've given it the basic information, it's now going to ask us some more questions. Every time we go through these submissions, some things will pop up there more and more. So we're going to say, okay, we understand that we need to select our modem. So you see, we got a new section at the very top up here now. It talks about the MMDVM host configuration. And we are going to turn on a couple of different things. We're going to turn on, for this particular video, DMR, D-Star, and Yaesu System Fusion. The other thing is this has a little display on it. This is an OLED Type 3 display. This basically is the difference in sizes of OLEDs, but this particular hotspot we're working on today is an OLED Type 3. And let's keep going down through here. Do we need to change anything else? Yeah, here's our modem type. This is the main reason it complained right here. Our modem, let me scroll this up so you can see more of it because something goes off the screen. It is quite a large list of modems. And our modem is a ZumSpot right here, single band Raspberry Pi hat. Hat basically means it goes on top of the Raspberry Pi directly. No, it just plugs right into it. But this is a single band. This is the 70 centimeter band. So we're going to click on the ZumSpot single band Raspberry Pi. And then we're going to apply and we're going to wait yet again. All right, here we are back, warped forward again with that Star Trek warping technology, traveling through time and space. All right, so let's scroll down here a little bit. Let me close this bottom thing out too. So now we have all three of our modes turned on. Our OLED is on and you can't see it at the moment, but it's working. And I immediately started getting traffic on the hotspot from the Fusion because it defaults to America Link. So let me do a real quick thing. Let me go to the dashboard real quick. And you'll be able to see right here, it's transmitting right now. And I have a radio next to me here. It started going off. It kind of scared me a little bit. So you can see it's already transmitting via YSF. You see all of our modes are working here. Technically, DMR is not working. We'll explain why here in a second. But let's go back to configuration. I just want you to know that if you do this exactly this way in the defaults to America Link, it might start transmitting right away. So after we turn these three things on, you come down here and we still see our general configuration, but we have a new item right here. This is our DMR ID. I am going to put in one of mine, 124.163.1.24.166. So that's needed for the DMR. And we come on down and you're going to see some other things show up here. So DMR right here. We are going to, let me scroll this up again. This is one of those very long lists. There's a bunch of different DMR networks now. Over the last few years, there's been quite a few more. I'll get through the list here real quick. We have the free DMR, which I'm not familiar with what that one is. I am familiar with the TGIF network right here. And I'm not quite sure what the FD and the HBs are. But in our particular case, we're going to stick with Brandmeister for the moment. So let's go up here and we're going to find BM. There's DMR Plus, Brandmeister, and We are in the United States, and this is the East Coast reflector or server right here, 3102. That's the one I normally use. No additional DMR options. You can leave the DMR ESSID as it is. You'll see your number show up here a little bit later. And we're going to leave color code 1. So for this video, for the purpose of this video, I'm going to go ahead and save the configuration as it is right now and show you something does happen here after we apply changes. And this also allowed me to do jumps in the video description so people can jump to the particular area they want. So here we are done with the current DMR. We're going to apply changes once again. Okay, we warped through time again, and here we are back after the apply changes, and we're going to scroll back down to the DMR area because we just made that change. And one of the things that's going to show up right now is this hotspot security. So Brandmeister now requires you to have a password that you can set in the Brandmeister self-care. So you do need a Brandmeister account, which is free. If you do not have one, up on the top right of the screen, you should see a little card that takes you to a video we did how to get that. And there's also a link to it in the show notes down below. So you can scroll down and find that link down there as well. You also require a DMR ID. And if you don't have one of those, we also have a video on how to create one of those. You need that before you can create a Brandmeister account. So in the link description down below, you will also find a link to the video that tells you or shows you how to get the DMR ID. So what we have to do now is follow on the video we created on setting up your Brandmeister security for your hotspot. And then the password you set in there, you need to put in here as well. So I don't really know what my password is. I'm taking a guess here as to what it might be. But then after we do that, we apply changes. And when we apply changes, we also have to wait for the other update time. So we'll pause it right here. But when we come back, we should have a working Brandmeister connection. All right, here we are. We are back through space and time again. And our updated DMR is now done. So let's scroll down here. You see, there we are. We have all of our DMR complete. We come one down a little bit farther, and we're going to talk about D-Star now. So by default, since I am on 70 centimeters on this hotspot, that is the B module. So in D-Star, B module is the 70 centimeters, C module is the 2 meters, A is typically 900 or 1.2, and so that's how it kind of works. So B is the default. You can change it, but this is the kind of the standard everybody uses, so I wouldn't recommend changing it. As far as the remote password goes, I wouldn't leave it alone. It's typically fine just the way that it is unless you've changed it somewhere. So you don't have to put that in there. This is your default reflector, and I would recommend maybe changing this one just for this particular reason. Reflector 1 Charlie is the international D-Star, so it's quite busy. I would try to put it somewhere else. It's easy to change from your radio, so I would just recommend. I'm going to go ahead and put it on. Let me scroll up so you can see this again. There's a lot of these out there. We have two reflectors of our own for D-Star. We have reflector 25 Charlie that we run, which is one down here. These are DCSs. We also have an XLS reflector, which is what I'm going to put this on. It links to multiple things. So ours is 336 XLX. Keep going up. See, it's quite a list here. 336, and I'm going to leave it on Charlie. That's kind of our normal, we have people connect to. Everybody's welcome to connect. I'm going to change the language to English, United States right here, although you would understand the UK. But I'll still leave time announcements turned on. So once an hour, at the top of the hour, or every time the hotspot reboots, it'll transmit on D-Star at the current time. So I'll leave that turned on. That's kind of my way of making sure that it's actually functioning. Call sign writing, routing, I wouldn't recommend necessarily. It doesn't really work well in the United States. It's just something I was just trying to avoid. You can always experiment with it though. No problem experimenting, but I typically leave these two turned off. That's it for D-Star. So all we do now is apply changes and we wait again. Okay, we are back from our long apply changes here. And we just completed setting up D-Star. So let's go down the list here now, and we're going to get down to Fusion, which is just as easy as D-Star to configure. By default, it comes set with AmericaLink WiresX. And this is actually linked to WiresX. So The FCS reflectors, I'm not going to go into all the detail in this video like I will some other ones, but they are not the actual Wires X themselves, but there's a bridge between them. So it does connect to the Wires X system, the American Link Wires X system, through a bridge. The bridge isn't always guaranteed to be up, just be aware of that. This is the default when you install it. It is a very, very busy room, the Wires X room. So if you don't want your hotspot to be busy all the time, I would recommend picking something different. You can always switch it to America Link whenever you want, but you can see there's a ton of things on here that you can pick from. So you can find other stuff as well. But anyways, you pick the one that you want to put it on. I'm gonna leave it on America Link for the time being, but you can go down through this list and find the ones that you really like. I would recommend probably, unless you are using, getting in the hotspot for Fusion, changing it, because it is a very busy. As soon as it reboots from my changes, it comes up immediately. And right now it's broadcasting in Fusion right now, so it's very, very busy. Just an FYI on that. But there's nothing else you really have to do for Wires X by default, except for change this to where you want it to be. And it may be perfectly fine for you where it's at. And when you're done, you simply apply changes, just like this.
All right, here we are with the hotspot. And you can see it's already transmitting on Fusion because it's on America Link and there's a net going on right now. So so you'll see on the screen here the calls and everything that's coming up. You'll see it for D-Star, you'll see it for DMR, whatever you got configured for the hotspot. The screen will change based upon that. So right now it's listening and it's transmitting again. So one of the things I do not like about this particular hotspot is this case was designed for a different hotspot board. That had a light, the lights going up and down both sides like this. In this board, there's two side by sides, but you can see them blinking in there. Right now it's listening to Fusion, but in a second, you might see it start to move around. It's a 10 second hang time, so it listens to what it's was on for 10 seconds. And then it'll start, now you see it starting, oh, it's back transmitting again. But you might see it move around in there. That's basically every different color is a different mode. So if you see it changing colors, it's listening to all the modes in sequence. And when it hears it, it stops and stays there. So because there's a few net going on this particular America Link, it's pretty busy. So, and you can also see your IP address down here at the bottom. When it comes back, it'll give you your IP address. And you can change the screen settings some. You can change like the screen blanking and all that kind of stuff. So there's different things you can change about the screen. Not a lot, but there's some you can make a change. So I think it's set up right now to go off too fast. I'd like it to stay on a little bit longer if it could. So, but this is a working hotspot now, ready to go. It's gonna go to my friend. I'm gonna put his information in there before I send it to him. But it's not difficult. Don't be scared about getting a hotspot. They're very inexpensive. I'm gonna put a link down in the in the show notes as to where I got this from. I got this off of eBay, and I can't remember what the cost of it was. Let me see if I have it here somewhere. $31 for the hotspot. It did not include the Raspberry Pi Zero, but they're very inexpensive as well, and did not include the card. Again, really inexpensive. So you're talking probably under $50 for a hotspot. You get it yourself. It saves you some money of buying the $300 ones you get on from some of the bigger vendors, but easy to do. I'll be right back and we'll close out. So I do want to go through a couple more things before we close this out. We are pretty much done. You will notice there's a few other modes here. There's a P25 mode, there's an NXDN mode as well. And then I also want to call out POXAG. This is the old style paging, which is actually, I have it running here at my house. This is kind of a novelty item. We don't use pagers for much anymore, and they're very loud and not as nice as a phone, but I did kind of set it up to test it here. It does work just fine. And then we also have these other modes, and you see it says YSF to DMR. So this is, if you have a System Fusion radio and you want to talk to DMR, you can turn this option on. I never really set it up, so I'll do some videos in the future of setting it up and testing it. And then YSF to NXDN, which is the NXDN mode, it's up here. And YSF to P25, which is another option. Then you also have the DMR to YSF, and we also have DMR to NXDN. And there is no DMR to P25, which is interesting. I don't know why that necessarily is, but I'm sure there's a reason for it. One of the reasons you do not see here, the D-Star in either one of these directions, is
DSTAR is a much older protocol. It uses a different AMBI chip to do the translation from audio to digital and digital to audio. The UAG System Fusion and DMR both use the same, which is the newer version. So that's why their audio sounds a little bit better than DSTAR. So that's just a couple other modes that I'm not going to jump into in this particular video. I'm focusing on the three most popular ones. I may do some other videos in the future for these other modes. So the other thing I want to call out down here at the bottom that you probably saw when we were going by it was this mobile GPS configuration. You can connect a serial based GPS unit and plug it into the USB port. With this particular hotspot is limited to one USB port, so you're not really don't have a lot of functionality there, but you could do it. Some people carry these in their cars. I'm one of those people. I have this Pi Zero similar to this, but no screen on it, in my car or in my truck. And my truck has Wi-Fi as part of its. It came with Wi-Fi, and you pay a monthly service fee. So I had to leave it connected to that. And so when I get outside of my area where I don't have any more DSTAR or DMR or System Fusion, if I'm traveling somewhere, I can use the hotspot to connect back to home and talk to friends and things like that. I didn't have a GPS on it. I don't have no reason to have a GPS on it, but this is one of the reasons you would enable this, is you can turn on the APRS and let this indicate where you are and everything. I just want to call it out that it's down here as an option. We're not going to talk about any more than that for today. So let's go back and look at our dashboard now that we're done, and we'll close everything out for today. So put back up here to our dashboard. And you'll see that the DMR net is not working for me. That's because the password I put in there was not the correct one. But you can see this is everything that's been happening since we set it up. And you look over here and you see it's all YSF. Like I said, America Link is a very, very busy room. So, but you can see it's putting out RF, and I have a radio here that proved that to me. So as people were talking on it, it kind of scared me a little bit at first when it first came up. But you see where all the modes are enabled. The network status, DSTAR and YSF are 100% working, and my password is not the correct one. So that's why I don't have that. So this is the dashboard. You can see what's going on. I'll do a longer video before a separate video, I should say, in the future, talking about how you use the dashboard and what you can do in the admin panel as well. Today's video was more just to show you that it's not hard to make your own. You can save a lot of money buying something like this and putting it together yourself instead of spending, you know, a lot more money. This is under $50 for this whole thing. And you have your own hotspot, the very functional hotspot as well. But we'll go through all the other options in here and a different time, a different video. So that's it for today. Hope you liked the video. If you did, smash that thumbs up button down below. And please subscribe and click the bell to get notified when we put out new videos. That really helps us a lot with the YouTube algorithm. Being a brand new channel, it's a little hard to get started. And the more people that spread the word out there, the faster we get to grow a little bit. So 73 everyone, hope you enjoyed the video. We'll talk to you in the next video.